of a series called Storms, and we've been talking about storms in the Bible and how the people in the Bible who encountered a storm navigated that storm with God. Because there wasn't one person in the Bible who didn't navigate a storm that they had instruction from God or had a way to navigate it with God. So this is what we're going to do. If you have the clapper, I want you to hold it up in the air. Every time I say the word rain, okay, good job. If you've got a boomstick, hold it in the air. Every time I say thunder, perfect. And if you've got the kazoos, every time I say wind, all right, perfect. And for everybody, if I ever say the word storm, everybody, perfect, perfect. All right, so we've been talking about, in River Kids, storms. Your first time. There we go. Storms in the Bible. We talked about Noah, because Noah encountered a storm, didn't he? We talked about how he navigated that with obedience. If he hadn't obeyed the word of God, they surely would have died in that storm. We talked about Jonah and trusting in the will of God. And because Jonah chose not to trust the will of God, he almost died in a storm. We talked about Paul. Paul was on a journey on a boat, and there was a storm. And he was shipwrecked, but because he chose to listen to what the angel of the Lord said, everyone was saved. We talked about Peter. He was in the middle of a storm, and Jesus was walking on the water, and because he trusted and kept his eyes on Jesus, he stayed afloat until he looked away. And then the last one we talked about last week is the disciples in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. They also encountered a storm while Jesus was taking a nap, and they were like, "Why are you sleeping?" And he was like, "Why don't you have any faith at all?" He was a lot nicer about it, though. So today we're going to talk about building our lives on the rock. This is the last message in our storm series for River Kids. You guys are good. Because I believe that this is one of the most important, because we learned about how all of these people navigated their storm with Jesus. And so we want to know how to be prepared to navigate whenever we have one with the Lord. Because no matter what happens in your life, no matter how good you are or bad you are, you will at one point in your life encounter a storm. Anybody over the age of, say, you know, birth can attest. Has anybody in this room encountered a storm? Maybe one or two or three or four or five. Sometimes it's just like a monsoon. But if we know how to navigate them with the Lord, we will still be standing on the rock. So, Jesus tells us exactly how to navigate these storms. The people with the kazoos are like, "I'm about to pass out." So, Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Jesus says this. He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And then the next part of the scripture says, I'm paraphrasing here, but the next part of the scripture says, "The rain fell, the wind blew, and the thunder roared." Doesn't really say that part, I'm just adding it in. "But the house did not fall because it was built on the rock. But the person who hears these words and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. When the rain fell and the wind blew and the thunder roared and it beat against his house, it fell. And it was a great fall, because his house was not built on the rock. So when you're reading this scripture and you say, and Jesus says, anyone who hears these words of mine and does them. So you might be thinking to yourself, well, what words is Jesus talking about? Who hears what words? Any words that are in the Bible? Sure. I mean, we should listen to all of the words that are in the Bible. Both testaments are important to pay attention to listen to and to follow. The Ten Commandments, the greatest commandment that Jesus says. But specifically, Jesus is talking about, he's finishing in this scripture in Matthew 7:24. He's talking about anyone who hears these words of mine. This is his whole big bow that he's putting on the end to his very first sermon. His very first sermon was a Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So this scripture is talking specifically about who hears these words, the words he just preached in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So let's review. I'm not going to read all three chapters to you because that is a whole lot, but we're going to just do a little overview of what Jesus is talking about when he says, those who hear these words of mine. Okay, so let's start at the beginning, Matthew 5. He says, the people who navigate their storms with Jesus and build their houses on the rock, good job, those people are meek. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're merciful, pure in heart, and they're peacemakers. That comes from Matthew 5 when he's talking about the Beatitudes. And then he says, they're salt and light to the world who let their light shine before others. That's Matthew 5, 13 through 16. They teach the truth. They don't let their anger control their actions. They control what their eyes gaze on and what their minds think about. They keep their word. They're not just going to say something and then not follow through. They're going to stick to what they say. They're merciful and they love their enemies. They do good deeds for the needy and they're not flashy about it and they don't brag about it. They pray and fast in earnest with sincerity. They store their treasure in heaven. They're anxious for nothing, but they pray about everything. They concern themselves with fixing their own sin and their own problem instead of judging someone else's. They ask, seek, and knock with persistence. They treat others like they want to be treated. That's the golden rule. They bear good fruit, and they know how to discern the fruit of others around them. So this is what Jesus says. Those who hear these words and do them, not just, oh, yeah, I read about that once. Your house is not built on the rock just because you've read the Bible. Your house is not built on the rock because you know the golden rule. That rain is still going to fall. And if you just go, wait a minute, the Bible says this, too late. The rain's falling and you've got nothing to stand on. The Bible says to fix what your eyes gaze on. That's one of the things that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. They control what their eyes gaze on and what their minds. Okay, just because you read it doesn't mean you've put it into practice. You have to put it into practice. And so when the storm comes and you haven't put any of that into practice, you're going to be standing on shaky ground. The Bible says to be merciful, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you can't just read about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. You have to actually actively seek the Lord. And not just little, listen, I'm a mom of two boys, and I'm tired. Not as tired as Mike and Erica Blanchard are, but I'm tired. But I still can't just say those little two-minute prayers in the car from my car to work and think that is sufficient. I can't just lay in bed at night and go, Jesus, thank you for this day. Where was I? Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry that I... And then just think that that's a sufficient prayer life. That's not how that works. I have to find time, and something that I learned growing up that I like didn't understand until I was older, but now I can go, okay, this makes sense. I don't need to work Jesus around my schedule. That is so dishonoring to him to try and say, Jesus, let me see if I can fit you in. That is such a disservice to the creator of the universe and the savior of your soul to say, let me see where I can fit you in. And that sounds harsh, but like without him, we don't have anything. We have absolutely nothing. And so for me to go, let me just go to work, that's important. But he provided that job for you and that paycheck and the consistency that you have and the food that you eat because of that paycheck. So Lord, let me start my day if it's waking up earlier, then it's waking up earlier. If it's staying up after the kids go to bed and instead of vegging out and watching a movie, then I'm going to pray. And I'm preaching to myself because it gets hard sometimes and you just want to veg out. I get it. But that's not how we build our house on the rock. I can't stand on Tom Cruise and go, yes, I've watched enough Top Gun and I'm going to whatever. When the rain falls, boom, gone. Because I've got nothing to stand on. But when the rain falls and the wind blows and the thunder booms and the storm is raging, I can look back on the history that I've built with God going, okay, he's always been faithful. I know who he is and what his voice sounds like because I've heard it enough, because I've spent enough time with him that I can listen to what he's saying. And when he says, okay, I know it's really loud right now, but just follow me this way. I know that there's a lot of rain falling and it sounds like hail because it's so loud and so persistent, but keep walking this way. Or stand firm and stand your ground. I can stand on a steady foundation because I'm not going, oh my goodness, I know that someone at church sometimes said this, but I have my own history with the Lord because I've built it by reading the Bible and spending time in his presence. Now, I tell your kids, your grandkids or your nieces and nephews or whoever you have that goes to River Kids, I tell them this and they can probably go, yep, I've heard that a timer every Sunday. I tell them every week, there is nothing, not one single thing in your life more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. And then after that, the next most important thing in your life is telling other people about him. Jesus, you're not going to stand in front of Jesus and he's going to go, yes, you were on the soccer team and your team won a blue ribbon. He's not going to say, you were the most academic person in your school, valedictorian, go you. He's not going to say, you were the best CEO or you had the most money or the most influence or the most whatever. Did you know me? And did you make sure that everybody in your world knew me too? That is the most important thing in your entire life, to know him and to make sure other people know him too. I refuse to stand before Jesus and say that I prioritized anything else more than a relationship with him. And if it makes me look foolish, fine. I don't really care what you think anyway. The only person I care about is him. The only opinion I care about is his. And the only person that's going to sustain me when my entire world is falling to pieces, him.